Week 13 provided us way too many injuries, but we break them all down. Everything you need to know about some of the major injuries in week 13. Who is headed for the coping corner, which has been a beautiful reverse jinx of late, by the way. And finally, who are some players or teams you need to be panicking on as the fantasy playoffs are just around the corner? All that and more coming up on the week 14 edition of the People's Panic Meter. It's Tuesday, December 5th. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Show. It is a hell of a day. I mean, a perfect day to talk ball. And joining me to do just that is Andy Behrens. Andy, we're here in week 14, buddy. We've arrived, and I dare say we got the most outrageous headline of the NFL season today. I got to get your reaction to this. I've been waiting for hours to talk with you about this very specific thing.
There's no question what you're about to talk about. Like, you're so right. It's the most outrageous headline. There's absolutely no question what you're about to bring up.
Dare I say it's the most outrageous headline I've ever read in, I mean, 10 years of like covering the NFL professionally, whatever you want to call it, that I do here hosting this damn show. But maybe just that I've ever read about the sport ever, you know, outside of like some major scandal or something like that. Diana Russini of The Athletic tweets out today, the Jets want to make a switch at quarterback. The team is leaning towards Zach Wilson to take over, but he is reluctant to stepping back in. Sources tell at Zach Blatt and me, the team is discussing next steps. More on The Athletic shortly. I mean, Andy, you are a Bears fan. You have a doctorate in quarterback mess. Have you ever seen anything like that? I mean, he's basically, the Jets were like, Zach, we want you to take over, buddy. And he goes, nah, I'm all set.
I'm good. Yeah, I don't know that we have a clear recent comp for a perfectly healthy player doing exactly this. I don't know if he sees all these kids in the transfer portal and he's getting jealous. I don't really know what the motivation here is. I mean, I understand anyone not lining up to be part of this parade of quarterbacks that gets blamed for various things that are not going well for the Jets. Obviously, the initial experience wasn't great. I don't know how they thought this was going to go when Tim Boyle took over with Trevor Siemian behind him. I mean, that was I don't know. We never know like what they're seeing in practice for these guys. But there's nothing in the professional history or the amateur history of Tim Boyle that would make you think that was going to go any better than anything that Zach Wilson could do. So I understand his frustration. I assume that's what this is. I find it kind of crazy that it even got out of the building. This is a weird one, and I don't know how this goes because I haven't seen this scenario before.
No. Spoiler alert, we will be talking about the Jets later on in this show, so we don't need to dive too deep into what their week 14 prospects might look like. Tell you what, probably not good when your starting quarterback is, well, the guy you want to start at quarterback, but he probably is not going to start for you. I don't know. I mean, the next steps things that cracks me up. What are the next steps here? What is Joe Douglas thumbing through the pages of the GM handbook saying like, all right, next steps when your quarterback tells you to kick rocks, I don't want to start again. After you've benched me again, what do I do next? I mean, is there a loophole in the salary contract, like salary cap space? Can they bribe him with more money? I have no idea, but I just had to break.
Well, last time they had one of these situations, they traded a receiver to the Browns, right? It's too late for that this year, but maybe we can revisit that in the offseason. I have no idea, but Zach Wilson probably has to find a new home if it's come to this.
Yeah, I can't imagine Zach Wilson's camp is the group that leaked this one out of the building. So no. Some pretty outrageous stuff there. Had to get your reaction to that. But we are going to do some serious business here on this podcast today. Look, it's a crucial time in the fantasy football season. It's week 14. This is you know, they say this in the real sport, like this might as well be, this has a feel of a playoff game. This is the stakes of a playoff game. Week 14 is basically, for those of you who are still alive, it's a must-win situation, okay? Because you either, look, maybe you need to get your seeding down, whatever, unless you're Chris Harris in the Equa League and you just can't be stopped. You know, be that as it may, you probably need to get your seeding all straightened out, or you need to win just to get in, okay? So it's a serious time, all right? The playoffs are basically starting now, even if they don't start in your league until next week. So Andy and I are making some tweaks to the panic meter. We did not take user submissions this week. You can still submit panic stuff to the fantasy mailbag at yahoosports.com email. We'll still take them if you have them, but we're not going to just like talk about guys who let you down last week. We're going to be looking forward a little bit on this show. Andy and I are going to give our secret lists of the players you need to panic about, like you might need to worry about. And maybe Andy's going to talk me down. Maybe I'm going to talk him down from these players that we might personally be panicking on. We are still going to put somebody or some team in the coping corner. But honestly, Andy, when we decided to rework this show for, you know, the down the stretch times here and into the playoffs, the NFL, unfortunately, gifted us with a bunch of stuff to talk about and panic about, yeah. Really, because we had an absolute, and I say gifted with heavy sarcasm there, like morbid sarcasm. We had a ton of injuries in week 13 that are going to have heavy ramifications on next week and potentially down the stretch. So I figured we honestly just need to kind of go injury by injury here and talk about the major fantasy impact and, you know, what panic might be coming out of this one here. So it fits perfectly with the topic today. So let's get right into it. Starting with Mike Vrabel said on Monday morning that Derrick Henry is not in the league's concussion protocol after exiting week 13's contest against the Colts. He said, quote, "We checked on him last night, then checked on him this morning." Okay, I mean, it sure looked like he was in the concussion protocol. That was the talk coming out of Sunday, but yeah. Okay, Mike Vrabel, he's not in the concussion protocol. This was setting up to be a massive piece of news for Tajay Spears, but it looks like Derrick Henry will face the Dolphins on Monday Night Football in Week 14.
Yeah, as you say, first of all, like, I don't know that we've had a week like this season. Like, we've seen obviously some major injuries, especially early in the year, but I don't know that we've had a single week with this many fantasy relevant players, many of them stars, going down with kind of ambiguous timelines too. And that's the situation with Henry. I guess I assume, especially with an extra day, that Henry is going to be good to go in week 14. But you're right. This sure looked like what I thought the early stages of someone going into the concussion protocol were. But I also have no reason not to necessarily trust Mike Vrabel here, trust the team. It's good news if he's able to play. We'll get to pickups a little bit later in the show, but I do want to remind people that Tajay Spears, even though perhaps he's not going to step into some full workload this week, still one of the most valuable backup running backs in the NFL in terms of what he would clearly do if Derrick Henry were to miss time down the stretch, right? They're already rolling him out there, like, for about 50% of the snaps. He's seen a ton of playing time. He gives us every couple weeks, even though he may only see like 4 or 5 touches a game, sometimes it's more. He gives us a highlight like every week or every other week. He's really been, this has been a wonderful rookie season for him. He's a gifted receiver. He can just do it all. Yards after contact, he's among the leaders on a per carry basis in the league. So Spears a really interesting player. And don't just scrap him from your waiver plans, I suppose, just because it now looks like Henry's going to be good to go.
Yeah, I think he still is one of these like should be 100% rostered backup running backs. Mm-hmm. And don't let the reality that Henry is probably playing in this game get you off course from that. Like, he should still be. If you're a playoff team, you certainly should have space on your bench to stash Tajay Spears. That should absolutely be the case. All right, next one up here. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport reports Kenny Pickett is not expected to go on injured reserve after his ankle surgery, but he's still likely to miss at least 2 weeks and up to 4. The Steelers' upcoming schedule versus Patriots on Thursday night. I mean, good Lord. Good Lord. Bro, yeah. I'm going to say this to y'all now. Like, I know that we do this, like, but you're going to watch it anyways. I'm not watching that game on Thursday night. I'm putting my foot down right now. Andy, I don't know what you're going to be doing. Maybe you want to watch your boy Mitch Trubisky with the Steelers. I don't. I'm going to go out to dinner. I'm going to do something else. I'm not watching this on Thursday night.
I'm trying to think what kind of actual fantasy connection I'm going to have in that game across many leagues. I probably have too much Deontay to just not pay any attention to it at all. But man, if you're ever going to take a Thursday night game off, this is the one. Oh. I mean, New England is just not going to, like, I don't know. They just got shut out. There's no reason to think that they can't get shut out for the remainder of the season. That's a totally joyless offense. So yeah, I mean, anybody who needs, like, I don't know, you need me to write you a permission slip, not you personally, but anybody out there to not watch this game, you feel guilty about not watching this game, don't. Like, that's fine. I get it.
Yeah. Take a stand. Stand up for yourself, honestly. Okay. I have some Deontay stuff that I'd like it to hit. But I mean, shoot, I don't need to see it happen. It's going to happen one way or another. Yeah. I'll check the box score afterwards, and I'll protect my mental energy by not watching that game. So still, though, regardless, after that game, after that game happens, the Steelers also go to Indianapolis to play the Colts. They'll get the Bengals and the Seahawks. There's actually some pretty solid spots there for this passing game. Like, how much does not having Kenny Pickett around change your evaluation of an offense that is not good already?
Even though it didn't really amount to anything in terms of a real fantasy output a couple weeks ago, that first game without Matt Canada, right? And I don't know how much of it was the absence of Matt Canada. Some of it, Kenny Pickett hit some downfield throws. Like, he wasn't perfect against Cincinnati, obviously. He missed some stuff too, but like he did, like, a couple of seam routes to Freiermuth, deep sideline routes to both Deontay and Pickens. Like, he hit some stuff downfield that was legitimately impressive and exactly what you want to see from, you know, a fantasy offense in which you're invested. So I thought it was pretty encouraging. Now, should we be scoring more than 16 points against the Bengals? We probably should, right? Right? Like, there was still, like, there's still a weird absence of touchdowns here on the resume for Pickett. You couldn't find somebody who's more different, I think, than Mitch Trubisky, right? Because the one thing we can give Kenny Pickett some credit for doing well is he's not giving the ball away. And that's just like the signature move for Mitch, right? Like, there's going to be more turnovers in this offense. I don't know that it's a team that can really overcome turning the ball over 2-3 times. I don't think they're built that way. So I don't, like, it's hard to say that anything is, any sort of change at the quarterback position is bad for the Steelers necessarily, because they're not putting up numbers. But this also doesn't feel good. And as you say, they're heading into a bunch of good spots. And I would legitimately have wanted to see what we would get from Kenny Pickett, like, in a rematch with the Bengals, in that Colts matchup where the Titans just put up numbers. So it's a bummer for him. I can't, obviously, Bears fan, whatnot. I have a history with Mitch Trubisky. I can't trust him.
Yeah, you actually are a compromised source, so I probably shouldn't have asked you.
I am indeed.
But I think there's definitely a downgrade. I guess there's a downgrade. Kenny Pickett's definitely not had a consistent season. I think it's a bummer that it's definitely a bummer that the Steelers won't get to evaluate Kenny Pickett potentially down the stretch. Yeah. Like, that is a huge bummer for the team. I think from a pure projection standpoint, it really doesn't need to be a big change. Like, if you could very realistically be trying to talk yourself out of playing these guys as it is. And now I definitely think this is another reason for you to try to talk yourself out of them. All right. It's not the only injury that is occurring in that, or that is going to impact that great Thursday night game, because Patriots running back Ramondre Stevenson sprained his ankle on a hip drop tackle. A lot of discourse about that. But brass tacks, he could miss multiple games here. The upcoming schedule for the Patriots, they play in that Thursday night game that's going to occur, and I don't know what it's going to look like because I'm not going to set eyes on it. Then they play the Chiefs. Then they go to Denver. Then they go to Buffalo, and then they play the Jets. How high will you be ranking Ezekiel Elliott this week, Andy, and how does that make you feel?
Ideally, Zeke would be tied to an offense that scores points, but, you know, it's the waiver wire. You can't have everything, right? So I'm not expecting a touchdown. I'm not banking on a touchdown. The one thing that we know for sure is that Zeke is going to touch the ball 20 times. He did it in relief of Stevenson. By the way, Stevenson was going to, I don't know, he was on a pace where he was going to handle like 30 touches, right? 25, 30 touches. It seemed pretty clear they were going to build the entire game plan around him in that game, and he looked great. So terrible injury. Should go without saying. I don't really know how you legislate the hip drop tackle out of football either. By the way, I know there's a lot of discourse on that. I'm not really sure how you do it. Cause it doesn't in the moment, it doesn't feel dirty to me. It seems like a very difficult thing to sort of legislate and jump on top of in real time, but, perhaps they'll try. I just hope he returns at some point this season. There's no, like, the Patriots are at that point where there's no reason to push anybody back to play in the final weeks of a clearly lost season. And they run into some incentive to, you know, maybe keep some of their best players off the field. So I'm not sure that we see Ramondre again. We're probably going to have to, I don't know, once we have a clear injury timeline, there's probably going to be a conversation about whether he's droppable in fantasy. I guess I've avoided your question long enough on Zeke Elliott. I haven't actually ranked yet for this week. It's hard. It's just hard to picture getting somebody who I he's fine. I think Zeke has been fine. I'm probably going to have him in the low 20s. I doubt I'm going to have him any higher than that.
Yeah, it just feels like you should have a better option than Zeke Elliott. Certainly pick him up. Certainly a guy that should be rostered, I think. I think he should have been like rostered before this anyways. But yeah, it's a bummer about Ramondre, who's one of the many players, and we'll talk about it here in a second, that is giving a middle finger to the coping corner right now. But again, we will talk about that here very shortly. Actually, this player technically in the coping corner as well, because he plays for the Washington Commanders, Brian Robinson, exited in the second quarter of week 13's contest against the Dolphins and never returned. He's dealing with a hamstring injury. Upcoming schedule for Washington, by the way, they're not playing this week. They're on bye. Them and the Cardinals are the two teams that aren't playing this week. And they go to LA to face the Rams. They go to New York to face the Jets. They get the 49ers. They get the Cowboys. Yikes. Not a fun end of season schedule for the Washington Commanders. But look, obviously, Robinson can come back from this next week out of with the hamstring injury and stuff like that. But with Antonio Gibson out there, he already was in kind of a precarious position anyways, because he loses passing down roles, passing down plays and reps to Gibson.
Yeah, I doubt that Gibson is available in many leagues. Not that he's the splashiest player necessarily. And again, the schedule's terrible. So you can't expect big weeks from him if Robinson misses a bunch of time. The other name there is Chris Rodriguez, who played a little bit, 29 rushing yards in relief of Robinson. He would get a little bit of run, but it would probably be more the Gibson show. And again, like if you don't want to go out of your way to acquire Commanders right now, totally get it. It's a murderous schedule.
Yeah, it's brutal. He was the one guy that when we put this offense in the coping corner, people were like, no, Brian Robinson's getting a lot of points. I'm like, just you wait. Just you wait. Yeah. Antonio Gibson will get out there and he'll be getting little, you know, garbage time catches and stuff like that in this offense. And yeah, that's exactly what happened. And now we're dealing with his injury, which is unfortunate because I think Brian Robinson's a really good player. Like, if this team actually had any interest in running the ball, I think Brian Robinson could, like, at times earlier in this year was really, you know, a solid and effective back. Derek Klassen, who, you know, does charting work quarterbacks with us over at Reception Perception, he was posting some of like the way that Dallas approached this offense from a schematic standpoint. Just no, on first and 10, just no thought that they were going to run the ball at all. Like Micah Parsons lined up as the nose guard, you know, on first and 10. it's just wild stuff, like completely unserious type of stuff there from Washington.
Yeah, it's so ends, like, as I look at the schedule right now, I suppose so ends the dream of Sam Howell leading the NFL in passing yards. He held that title for quite a while. I think CJ Stroud has it now after a relatively quiet week from Howell. But man, he's just got no shot at putting up numbers against especially the final three opponents here.
Yeah, no shot. Saints quarterback Derek Carr, next one we'll talk about here. He has a concussion. He's in the concussion protocol, at least. He has a shoulder injury. He has a back injury. I mean, a lot going on with Derek Carr there. Left with injuries and a loss versus the Lions. I didn't realize this, but like I mentioned, Tom Pelissero yesterday said that, you know, they were booing Derek Carr and stuff like that. My wife's cousin is actually in shout out to Zach. He actually went to the Saints game because he's in New Orleans, and he is like, man, they are so, he's same thing. They're so done with Derek Carr. The vibes are just really bad around the Saints right now. But the upcoming schedule is pretty gorgeous for any New Orleans player that you're interested in here, Andy. Carolina, New York Giants, then they go to LA to face the Rams. They go to Tampa Bay to face the Bucks, and then they get the Falcons. So, I mean, you got to think at some point Carr is going to miss. Like, he's been this close to missing games all year, and then he has just miraculously turned around and played. He's got three injuries right now that he's dealing with. You would think that this might finally be the time that we see Jameis Winston here.
This is honestly, though, the story of Derek Carr's career has been, and it's, you know, it's something that real life teams obviously appreciate. This guy is always on the early timeline of recoveries from whatever it is he has. He rarely misses time. So, not, I mean, he's in the concussion protocol now, and we've seen only a small number of players actually make it through without missing a game. So that's definitely a concern. Would be any kind of surprise if he misses the upcoming week, in which case we would then be treated to the Jameis Winston experience, which was that was quite a ride briefly on Sunday, right? Like, he only completed two passes, and one of them was a small miracle that was tipped by a defender. I don't know how that's going to go, but we do like, for fantasy purposes, that Jameis is willing to attempt any throw and that he will feed his best players. So I don't think it's bad for Olave necessarily. He's actually, you know, he's had some clean games in New Orleans as well. Like, he's had some good games for the Saints. So you don't know exactly what we're going to get, but that's the same way with anybody, any quarterback that you're adding from the waiver wire. It's pretty rare that you get somebody who's just a rock solid, like, pencil in 20 points. That's probably not going to happen here. We don't know what direction it's going to go, but Jameis could be fun. We could get like some ramped up usage of Taysom Hill, which is also a little bit fun. He's been a totally playable tight end. But to your earlier point, holy cow, are the fans fed up with Carr? like it's really bad. They are very pro Taysom right now, and they are very anti Derek Carr. And the team is kind of committed, so I don't know where this goes.
Yeah, it is very wild. I know they don't want to go to Jameis, and like, when Carr is healthy, I bet they don't. But it is crazy that, like, they spent mm-hmm. all these resources, like, kicked all this money into, you know, the Saints stuff, right? Like, keep kicking money down the road, you know, trade up in the draft, and it's like, this is the team you've assembled here, like, this group of guys. It is pretty wild. And yeah, the Derek Carr thing's tough because, I mean, he'll probably be on the roster next year. You know, I mean, that's probably the way this is going to go. And I don't think Jameis is, it's tough, right? I don't think Jameis is like a quote better quarterback than Derek Carr, but Derek Carr isn't any good. Like, he's just, they're bad in different ways, you know, but I think the ways that Jameis Winston is bad is probably good for Chris Olave. And shoot, even like an A.T. Perry type who, you know, on the Juwan Johnson interception, which, you know, that was obviously Juwan Johnson should have caught that pass, you know, with the Derek Carr interception there. But like, A.T. Perry's open on that play, you know, like there are throws downfield available for Derek Carr that he is not taking in this offense. And that has frustrated the hell out of all of these receivers all year. I mean, Michael Thomas is, like, he had to deactivate his Twitter account because he can't help, like, tweeting, you know, shady comments. Did you see this? He, like, can't help but, tweeting shady comments about Derek Carr and stuff. So, if we get Jameis Winston in this matchup against the Panthers, like, yeah, I don't think it will be pretty, but I think I'd be more excited about Chris Olave, who's strung together two great games back-to-back. And I think that even, like, an A.T. Perry type or a Juwan Johnson type, like, anybody but the Alvin Kamara checkdown will be more available in this offense.
Yeah, I mean, not taking deep shots has never been Jameis's problem, right? Like, he'll take anything that presents itself downfield. So that is just absolutely not a worry. If we could get a healthy Rashid Shaheed with Jameis Winston, I think that would be awesome. Obviously, he's zeroed in on Olave before, so I definitely don't think that having Jameis under center is going to be bad for any member of this receiving core.
All right, I'm gonna group these next two together. Because I'm just not sure, like, lengthwise how long these guys might miss, if they miss at all. One of them is actually going into a bye week. Marquise Brown left week 13 with a heel injury in the third quarter. He never returned. That was a weird stop-start game, so who knows if that had anything to do with it. But he's going into a bye week. Then they get the 49ers. They go to Chicago to face the Bears. They go to Philadelphia to face the Eagles, and they get Seattle. Then Amari Cooper, same sort of situation, left week 13's loss to the Rams with a head injury, never returned. Was coming in with a rib injury as well, so he's been battling through some stuff of late, but gets the Jags next week, then Bears, at Texans, Jets, and then at Bengals. So these two guys here, let's say they have to miss, you know, again, Marquise Brown goes into a bye. He's been dealing like with both of these guys have been dealing with a bunch of different injuries right now of late, and changing quarterback circumstances. Let's just say hypothetically, the next games, the Cardinals and the Browns play, like who are you interested in from either receiving core? You can say none in one of them, but is there some guys you might want to highlight for people if these two players have to miss?
The Browns situation, on one hand, you want to say, okay, it's great that he's going into a bye. He's got some time to recover, but like he hasn't practiced in forever. Yeah. You know, like they've been managing this thing through the week. Like he doesn't practice on Fridays, which is just never a good sign. To his credit, he's going out there. But I guess I do tend to fear that this is much more of a long-term thing. Maybe this is one of those things that doesn't really get better until you've got some meaningful time off. And then when they come back from the bye, they've got, I believe they have the Niners, right? They've got the Niners. So that's going to be like, it's not difficult to talk yourself into sitting a player when they face the 49ers defense. So we're probably not starting him there. The guy that you feel good about in this receiving core right now, who also went into week 13 with some injury notes, was Trey McBride. Found the end zone. That's like the one player where almost every promise that has been made about his usage is coming true. And I probably have the greatest confidence in. I'm not going to like, we're going to get to like week 15 and I'm not going to try to talk you into Greg Dortch. I'm not going to try to talk you into Rondale Moore. If you're a playoff team, you probably have better options than those guys. So I don't think you need to go out of your way to find any of these players. But I do think that Trey McBride is somebody who we can probably regard as a top five, top six fantasy tight end for the rest of the season.
Where's he kind of sit in your mind in like tight end dynasty rankings right now, Trey McBride?
Yeah. I think you've got a, I don't know. I don't like it's your discretion where you want to put somebody like TJ Hockenson, who might be at the top of that list or second or third. Laporta is obviously up there. McBride is there. Dalton Kincaid is probably on the fringes of that conversation too. So I feel like McBride actually be, I don't know, the tight end. Is he the tight end three? Is he the tight end four? It depends on what kind of time horizon you're looking at when you build a dynasty roster, but he is up there and he's definitely top five.
Yeah, he's definitely top five and they love him there. You could just tell Kyler Murray has got a lot of faith in Trey McBride right now. On the Browns situation with Amari Cooper, again, this is a guy who has been dealing with injuries all season long. But man, I mean, Joe Flacco, shout out to Joe Flacco, was slinging it, led all quarterbacks in air yards this past week. Like, I thought he would come in there and just check down to Jerome Ford. I know I said that on the Stat Nerd show, but he was letting it fly to Elijah Moore, who...
How about bombing to Elijah Moore downfield, right? Like, I've had a 40-yard reception for Elijah Moore. It was a weird day. He didn't catch a lot of his targets, but he saw so many. Most of it was as soon as Amari Cooper left the game. But, man, that was good to see.
But, like, these two guys really like each other. They have a history. Like, we haven't seen Elijah Moore get downfield targets like that since Joe Flacco last was throwing to Elijah Moore in Elijah Moore's rookie year. I mean, I've been kind of complaining about the way that they've used Elijah Moore this year as kind of that, like, gadgety, gimmicky sort of receiver, when it's like, yeah, look at, I know he's not the biggest guy, and there were definitely some times where you could, that lack of size showed up on downfield routes, whether it's, hey, you've got a guy in Joe Flacco who's just, you know, fresh off his couch, maybe he doesn't have the, you know, the window could be bigger here for Elijah Moore. That is definitely true. Like, right, he's a smaller player, but shoot, man, I mean, he does get open and he can make some pretty outrageous catches downfield. Like, look, I mean, it's week 14. I'm trying to feel something here. You know, I'm trying to feel alive with some in some type of way, man. I like Joe Flacco throwing downfield to Elijah Moore. I mean, like, does it do it for me? Yeah, a little bit.
As we speak, I don't believe that there's been an official announcement about Joe Flacco being the starting quarterback going forward. I can't believe he won't be, though. Yeah. I can't believe he won't, because that's about as competent as that offense has looked. All season long. I mean, I know he threw a regrettable pick, but man, that guy was basically just off the street. So it was a really encouraging game, and I agree wholeheartedly. Very encouraging usage for Moore, who's like kind of quietly last month seen a ton of targets.
Yeah, I think Flacco running that offense like it sort of kind of should be run. It's definitely encouraging, and it makes the Browns, I know they lost that game, and they've had injuries on defense that have started to kind of derail that side of the ball for them, which has obviously been the side of the ball that's carried them. But Flacco does at least make them mildly interesting. like from a watchability standpoint. So look, Elijah Moore, I know, is pretty widely available too. If Amari Cooper misses this upcoming game here, you know, the Jags is a pretty good matchup. There are definitely some spots you'd want to circle on that down the stretch schedule there. It's just crazy. I mean, Joe Flacco is the only quarterback who will throw downfield passes to Elijah Moore. It's absolutely outrageous. we don't have a lot of clarity on this next one, but late in the Eagles' loss, DeAndre Swift took a huge hit, slow to get up. He did eventually go to the medical tent and then to the locker room. Again, we don't have a lot of clarity on this one, but this is a pretty important situation. I know they have not run the ball well there in Philadelphia at all, and I think kind of to their detriment of late. But shoot, again, upcoming schedule: at Dallas, at Seattle, Giants, Cardinals, Giants to end the season. There are at least a few spots there that you'd think a running back could get going here.
I am going to posit that one of the reasons that they probably didn't want to talk about his situation a whole lot after the game, well, maybe they didn't know because it occurred so late, but man, why was he on the field with, like, I don't know, under 4 minutes to go in a game that was lost and the Niners were teeing off? Really, he got rocked too. Like, he got absolutely leveled on an incompletion, and was, you know, was down on one knee for quite some time. So, if it turns out to be a head injury, not going to be terribly surprising. Kenny Gainwell was already playing a lot, played a ton of snaps in that game. Look, the team likes him. Mm-hmm. Like, fantasy managers don't have to like it, but the team kind of likes Kenny Gainwell. They started the season with Kenny Gainwell as the featured back, you'll recall. And Gainwell would be the guy who, benefits if Swift can't go for whatever reason in the Cowboys matchup. You're right, bunch of, like, the Seahawks are a pretty friendly matchup for a running back. The Giants are a pretty friendly matchup for a running back. The Cardinals, like, it's a nice little slate ahead. I'm assuming that DeAndre Swift is going to be fine moving forward. Maybe it's just a 1 week thing. But it was, again, my takeaway from that is I seriously couldn't believe that he was on the field in that situation.
Speaking of late game injuries, Christian Watson, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, but do want to just kind of unpack this a little more. Christian Watson pulled up while decelerating, trying to stay in bounds late in Sunday Night Football's win over the Kansas City Chiefs. It could be another hamstring issue. He's just dealt with hamstring issues a ton since he's been in the NFL. Upcoming schedule for the Packers: at Giants, Bucks, at Panthers, at Vikings, versus your Bears. I mean, again, a lot of green light spots here. Let's live in a hypothetical world here, Andy, where, like, knock on wood, Christian Watson has to miss a couple of games here. Rank for me in priority these Green Bay receivers who have all started to come on of late.
Yeah, I know I've been such a proponent of Jaden Reed, and I love him as a player. It is hard not to recognize what we've got out of Christian Watson over the last couple games, right? Like, when he was healthy in that Chiefs game, I mean, he made, you know, one of the touchdown catches was just, there's nobody else. There's probably not anybody else in the Packers roster that you put that ball up for, right? That was just like, you're huge. You have a 4 foot vertical or whatever. Just, like, go in. That was a fun throw, fun attempt. Great catch. So I'm not going to stick to my Jaden Reed take so hard that I wouldn't say that we probably need to consider Christian Watson, like, the number one on that team as soon as he gets healthy. Beyond that, I still think it's Jaden Reed, and then it's Romeo Doubs. Like, you can flip a coin between those two. I don't know what the health situation is with Musgrave, but I just want to say that, like, Tucker Kraft pops every game to me.
Yeah.
Like, even 3 games ago, he had a touchdown called back because he, like, stepped on a couple of blades of grass out, like, on the sideline. But man, like, every game there's a moment or two where Tucker Kraft, I think, looks great. I'm not going to be surprised if that guy has a game down the stretch where it's, like, one of those weird tight end 2 touchdown games. Like, I think he's pretty interesting. I think Wicks has looked great throughout the season. So, like, there are some flyers that you can take, I think, in that receiving core, but it's probably Reed for me, and then Doubs just a hair behind him.
Yeah, Reed looks awesome. I'd be really willing to start him against the Giants, especially if there's no Christian Watson. And yeah, Dontayvion Wicks, man, I'm going to yada yada Romeo Doubs, and he's going to score 2 touchdowns next week. Like, that is just how it goes. And look, I don't want to take anything away from Romeo Doubs because he's a solid player. Just not much of a separator, kind of inconsistent hands, but he will certainly make, like, a flashy catch or two. I mean, that catch that he made on fourth down was obviously, Yeah, I mean, yeah. Maybe that was a little bit of like a Chiefs defense. What are we doing here? But you know, that was a big catch. Okay, and he's made big catches throughout his career. So I don't want to just again yada yada over him. But of the guys that are maybe a little more, they're the rookies at least here. I think Wicks has looked so good. I'd love to see him get
so good.
And he was definitely playing more snaps when Christian Watson was out to start the year. I'm a big fan of Dontayvion Wicks. I'm a big fan of Jaden Reed. So these are two flyers I'd be wanting to take if there's no Christian Watson this week.
I will also say, and I know it's not like it's not really part of the injury discussion, but I thought the last hurdle that Jordan Love really needed to clear for me was like do it again in a tough matchup, right? Like we've seen you just like blow up in, you know, put a friendly matchup in front of him, you put the Bears in front of him, you put the Lions pass defense in front of him, he's been good. And I thought the last hurdle he really needed to clear was like, okay, let's see what you do against Kansas City, because there's not another tough spot left on the schedule. And then he passed that test with flying colors. He's on the streak of multi-touchdown games. Like Jordan Love has a real chance to be like one of the decisive players, I think, in fantasy football over the next 4 weeks.
As a Bears fan, what's your mental state on the Jordan Love stuff?
You field the question actually all the time because it's probably an obvious point to make. It is kind of terrifying to think that he actually might be the next guy in this, you know, in this trio of perhaps great Packers quarterbacks. I will say the thing that made the Brett Favre experience and then the Aaron Rodgers experience so terrible for Bears fans wasn't just, oh man, the Packers got something right and they have this great quarterback. It was also that we did not ever for, you know, 20 plus years. Like when Brett Favre was the Packers quarterback, the guy behind center for the Bears was Shane Matthews or Steve Walsh or Kyle Orton or Rex Grossman or Cade McNown, or like, it was just this parade of terrible ideas. And then the guy who was the Bears quarterback when Aaron Rodgers was, of course, in Green Bay is like Jay Cutler and Mitch Trubisky. So it was just nothing but bad decisions. Like a lot of Bears fans, I'm hyper-focused on the draft right now. And I don't think I'll feel that bad about Jordan Love if, like, Caleb Williams is the Bears quarterback next year and there's a competent play caller and it all looks good.
Well, we'll see what happens. We got a lot of time to go until the first overall pick is handed in for the Chicago Bears. So, all right, those are the injuries you need to know. Some players to maybe pick up, add whatever to hopefully get you that week 14 win to get you into the playoffs. But let's talk week 14 here and the revamped People's Panic Meter. This show's still about you. We're just telling you the things you might need to actually panic about a little bit instead of, you know, you asking us, should we panic about this? We're doing this for you. You people out there, we're trying to help you out on this one. But before we talk players to panic on our secret list here, let's talk coping corner real quick, Andy. Like I said, it's been a banner week for players in the coping corner. Last couple weeks, really. Ramondre Stevenson, Christian Watson, even Damian Pierce scored a damn touchdown. The Falcons offense.
Yeah.
Don't feel bad about that. Tony Pollard, touchdown. Washington Commanders, don't feel bad about that. And Seahawks passing game. I mean, that's all they needed. We put them in the coping corner and they finally had their breakout performance. So, Andy, who are we reverse jinxing this week? Who goes in the coping corner?
I have two teams in mind who could go in there entirely.
I love that we're just full teams now. Just throw teams in there.
Yeah, I'm still at this late hour. I'm trying to decide who it's going to be. I think I want it to be the Jets. There's another team that's right there, though. But I think I just want to put the Jets in there because I don't like... I get it. You're uptight about Breece Hall. Now Dalvin Cook is seeing a little bit more work. In part, I think, because Breece Hall is just trying to hit home runs all the time. That's not going well. Obviously, it's not going to go well for any receiver. They have no answer at quarterback. And the one answer that they know is bad and that they're trying to go back to doesn't want anything to do with them. So like this is going to be very poor. We still people, you know, when we ask for the people's feedback, we'll still get responses with like Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson. And I feel like, man, we got to just let this one go.
Who is your other team that you were considering?
The Bengals. Yeah. We're recording right this before they actually play on Monday night. So I don't know. I guess I could feel differently about the Bengals, but like these are the names that keep getting sprinkled in the mentions as well, right? It's Ja'Marr Chase, it's Joe Mixon, it's T. Higgins. Should I worry? Yes, of course you should be worried. It's Jake friggin' Browning. Like, yeah, you should be worried. They don't have Joe Burrow at quarterback anymore. It's like, I don't know. I don't know what percentage to put on it. I don't know if they're all going to deliver like 80% of what they would have with Burrow, 70%. I have no idea. I have no idea who's going to shut down late in the year, but it's bad. It's not getting better.
Yeah, I'm hesitant to put the Bengals just again, like on the off chance that by the time you're listening to this on Tuesday morning, Jake Browning has thrown four touchdowns against the Jags. On the off chance. Colin, leave this in the podcast, even if it ages poorly. I don't care. Just on the off chance that Jake Browning has dropped a 30-40 spot on the Jags. I'm hesitant to put them in the coping corner, but yeah, I'm going to go ahead and I'm with you, Andy. Let's green light Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall. They're in the coping corner. Honestly, we should have done it freaking months ago. What the hell have we
probably
what the hell have we been doing here? So congratulations on a touchdown apiece for Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson in week 14. But a big reason that I actually want to green light them right away with no debate is because they were two of the players that I had in my fantasy playoff matchups that we think you need to panic about in week 14. Look, I mean, and actually, since we just mentioned them, I will use the other team playing in this game, actually, because Andy, I'm a little panicked about both teams in Jets Texans. I mean, the Jets, look, Adam Schefter, as we're recording this, says like, oh no, Zach Wilson is an option. Declare away, Robert Saleh. Declare whatever you want to say, but nothing good will be declared in terms of who's starting a quarterback for the Jets. I mean, the way that the Falcons, and look, the Falcons are more than willing to do this, but the way they were pulled into the muck and the mire that is the Jets right now, like, I'm a little concerned that we get a game like that out of the Texans and the Jets, because the Jets just can't do anything right. Yeah, no, you should not be starting Breece Hall or Garrett Wilson in your week 14 playoff or bust matchup. Okay. Like, you've got to have options that you feel better about. Maybe you don't, but I mean, if those are guys are what you're just rolling with, like, I think that's pretty scary. But it makes me scared for the players on the other side here, Andy, where no Tank Dell. He was announced today that he's out for the season. He had ankle surgery yesterday. So I mean, just best wishes to Tank Dell. I hope he just gets back quickly and he's ready to go for 2024. But I'm not really like trying to get in the business of let me scrape, you know, something out of the Noah Brown or Robert Woods tier of receivers. And I'm still going to play Nico Collins, but it does make me a little like basically I'm asking you like, okay, CJ Stroud kind of coming off a bit of a slow game for him. Obviously Nico Collins totally, you know, dunked on the Broncos, but he's really like a little bit close to the only game in town at this point. This is not a good rushing team. So any level of panic about CJ Stroud, who I, let me tell you, this is a me question, because on two of my very good teams, I've been rocking with CJ Stroud as my QB1. You know, I got Nico everywhere. Are we panicked that the Jets stink could, you know, make Stroud and Nico not smell as good here in week 14?
Sure. Yeah, they can absolutely lure the Texans into the theater of pain that has been the Jets season. Like, that can absolutely happen. I'm worried for a week. Like, the Texans schedule is pretty friendly down. Like, they've got a couple of matchups with the Titans coming up in the most important weeks of the season, and I'm pretty sure those go well. There is also the worry involving Tank Dell, where like, and you and I were talking about this off podcast, like, I kind of feel like I'm going to talk about Noah Brown in the waiver section, and I don't mind Noah Brown, but I just don't, there's not another guy in the Texans receiving core who I think does all the things that Tank Dell can do. Who has shown us half as much as Tank Dell has shown us. And I just sort of think that passing game gets a little bit worse without Tank Dell. They're like, the targets have to flow somewhere. Nico Collins is great. Good on Brevin Jordan for stepping up this week. Like, they're not, it's not like they have nothing. But Tank Dell was a big piece. He was consistently seeing, you know, 9, 10, 11 targets a game, and he'd earned them. So I just sort of think the passing game gets a little bit worse, and the Jets are still a frisky defense. So we have to give a little bit of credit too. So if that game ends, I don't know if that's a 17-9 game or something like that, that feels right to me.
Right. And look, I mean, there's just, again, almost no way that these teams that I have Nico Collins, I'm going to be benching Nico Collins. Okay. Like, this is not going to happen. But I'm a little concerned that I come out of this and being like, oh man, this looked like such a good spot for Nico without Tank Dell. And like, I get a 4-for-33 type of game. That is, I think, well within the range of outcomes. I mean, even Sauce Gardner tweeted 20 hours ago, in reply to someone putting up a stat, Sauce Gardner had another one of those games where Sauce Gardner had another one of those games where he didn't give up a catch, didn't he? And Sauce quote tweeted and said, basically, one catch for 2 yards, but none of that matters. Great stuff. I mean, just incredible stuff coming out of the Jets right now. But like, that is still a very good defense with a very good number one corner who's not going to track Nico around the field or anything like that. But it just could be. I wouldn't be surprised if this is a slower game for CJ Stroud. Texans still have a 78% chance to make the playoffs. They're going to be fine. Like you said, good schedule down the stretch. But this matchup, I mean, it does make me a little bit nervous. Makes me a little bit nervous. But all right, Andy, give me the first team player, whatever, off of your secret list here for week 14.
Okay, so this is not for week 14. This is I'm looking ahead to like the fantasy playoffs, okay? And this guy has a marvelous schedule in week 14. Tua Tagovailoa faces the Titans and it's going to go really well. I'm worried about what's beyond. Cuz we're going to get to weeks 15 through 17 and it's the Jets, it's the Cowboys and the Ravens. He gets this one final like five-star absolutely green light matchup. And then all of a sudden he's going to be a real problem to rank. He's all of a sudden going to be a really risky start. The guy's only, you know, he's like a week removed from putting up 13 fantasy points against the Jets in a largely unhelpful game. There's just no way that he's going to hit his projection down the stretch against those defenses.
Yeah, that's tough, right? I mean, Tyreek's on the path for 2000. I mean, still though, it's not like they haven't gotten consistent play out of Jalen Waddle. Brutal drop by Waddle yesterday. Definitely not hurting about that as somebody who bet the 66.5 yard over on Jalen Waddle. I wouldn't be one of those people. But you know, Tyreek Hill is great. Their run game got going, yeah, sort of kind of like mostly in the second half there, garbage time for Devon Achane. So I understand your concerns about Tua. I don't know that, man. Some of those games though, right? Like, I mean, the Dallas one, we just saw this with Geno and the boys, you know, like,
yeah,
I don't know that I'm going to be at a spot where I'm benching Tua or anything like that, but I definitely think like the trickle down to a guy like Waddle makes me a little nervous about a guy that I like should be set and forget, but he hasn't been this year.
I'll just say, this is what makes me so nervous about him, because I think he has been, I think he has generally been too good and too bankable, and hey, he's healthy and he's the guy who gets to throw to Waddle and Hill and all that. Like, I'm not going to bench him.
Right.
That's my problem. I have looked, you know, you bring up the player pages all the time and I'm seeing like the projections in our game for Tua over those three games. It's like 20.7, 20.7, 20.3. I mean, I know he's got a 12 point game in there somewhere. Like, I don't know which one it is. I don't know which defense, is the absolute stone wall for him, but I know I'm not going to get three straight 20 point games, and I'm terrified about it, because I also know that I'm not going to send him to the bench.
I'll talk about a player here that I think you should probably go ahead and send to the bench going forward. Cooper Kupp. Look, number one, where we are with Cooper Kupp. I've been talking about this on the last, on Reception Perception and on this podcast, like, guy does not look the same. Period. And whether it's because he's coming back from injuries, maybe he looks better next year, whatever, but like right now where we are with Cooper Kupp is not in a good place as an individual player. Talked about the lack of design targets. Those are going to Puka Nacua, because Puka Nacua looks fantastic and he looks as good as he has all year. Like, forget what the stat sheet says, he's looked fantastic. He looked better than he has at any point. I mean, some of these catches he made in week 13, just incredible stuff. Like, I know he was banged up a little bit, like on and off the field, but man, he's just looks like a guy that should be the number one receiver, especially when you compare him to what Cooper Kupp looks like right now.
Matt, I did not think he was coming back into that game.
Puka, wild. He said he was like, he said he couldn't like breathe, or he thought he was dying. So he had some kind of outrageous quote. Well, I want to actually like get it right. Oh no, yeah, it was okay. It was Sean McVay who said it was his shoulder and his rib. I mean, what an unbelievable catch he made on the sideline. I thought he was dead, and then he comes back to life. McVay even said, can I say that anymore? I don't know what I can say, but he's such a tough competitor. Yeah, and then someone asked Puka if he felt dead, and he said, a little bit. I wasn't breathing, and my shoulder didn't feel like it was in the right place. But I was good, though. I was good. He says I was good. I couldn't breathe, and my shoulder wasn't in the right place. But I was good. When he was carrying that thing,
a little bit dead, dead. I mean, not dead, just a little bit.
Yeah,
dead.
Just mildly dead. I mean, who among us hasn't felt a little dead at some point? But when he was, like carrying that thing, walking off the field, I was like, up, it's over. Like, we just lost Tank Dell and Puka Nacua in the same day. And then, like, I blink and 10 minutes later, he's back in the freaking game making plays. So yeah, I mean, he is locked and loaded. But Cooper Kupp, though, not so much. And I do worry a little bit about just this whole Rams offense. Actually, I mean, look, there's no shot in hell I'm benching Kyren Williams. And I'm actually not lucky enough to have Kyren Williams because I'm a coward on any roster, but I do have Puka in some spots. No way I'd be benching Puka. But like Stafford and Cooper Kupp going to Baltimore to face the Ravens, I'm a little nervous about that in week 14, but I just think down the stretch, like, Andy, I'm sure you've gotten questions with, like, here's a laundry list of five, you know, make your picks out on FFL. Here's a laundry list of like 4 to 5 players fill two spots for me. And when they include Cooper Kupp, I find myself listing him last among the options. And I feel pretty okay about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously the touchdown this past week, it's funny that Kupp scored after all of us on Twitter had basically written off Cooper Kupp for the season, right? So like the final stat line doesn't necessarily look as good. And I honestly do think that it's injury related because he's not a young player necessarily, right? But he's also not at a point, and he is somebody who should, I don't know, I feel like his game should have some nice old man game.
Agreed.
as he ages into this.
I've said that for years about Kupp, but at the same time though, and I mean, Keenan Allen is kind of, you know, given the FU to this, but
yeah,
like these guys who aren't like elite athletes and then they lose like 10%, you know, and Cooper Kupp, like,
yeah,
he, you know, wasn't the fastest player, all this stuff, but I don't know, longer term question. But yeah, keep going from the show. By the way, Scott on the recap podcast called that and the Kyren Williams touchdown late in the game, which Sean McVay even joked, like, Kyren Williams is on my fantasy team. Just kidding. I was kidding. He called those fan service touchdowns last night on the recap show, and I was like, that is a great description for what those were.
Oh man, that is absolutely perfect. Yeah. And I think that's where we are with Kupp, but I also, like, we're never going to get an honest story out of the team. And to Kupp's credit, he's been practicing, but you could see it a couple weeks ago in particular, immediately in that game, he was limping around. So he's clearly still affected by the ankle injury. I don't know that that's going to, I mean, you don't get better by playing through things like this, which he is. So I don't know that we'll see like a fully operational Cooper Kupp before the end of the year. We should also remember though, that we're only like a couple months removed from him having a couple of big games. Like he has been within this season, he's been a good player. So I also don't want to like completely eliminate the possibility that Cooper Kupp can get back, you know, not to where he was a couple years ago, but that he can get back to being like an 1100 yard receiver next year.
Yeah. Again, next year I'm open to the possibility, although I am admitting some like nervousness about that. I just think like rest of this season, and look, he gets the Commanders in week 15. So they're not a serious defense, but let's just say he gives you another rough game against Baltimore. You're not going to feel super good about like throwing him out there in that matchup. So that is just where we are at with, I think, the Cooper Kupp experience. But okay, give me another one from your list.
This is applicable to not just to week 14, but rest of season. I am, and you and I talked about this a week ago. I'm pretty panicked about Gus Edwards. And I don't know that there's been enough conversation about it. Maybe this isn't somebody that people were necessarily relying on. You added him from waivers, and maybe he's just somebody that you can throw back on your bench, and you've got a roughly equivalent substitute. I don't know. But that guy had a 5-game stretch in which he scored 9 touchdowns, which is pretty good. But like, man, he just got out-snapped badly by Keaton Mitchell, 33-19 in his last game. 19 snaps is really hard. Like, it's really hard to exist as a startable fantasy player. if you're not making your way to 20 snaps, right? Because you're not touching the ball every time you're out on the field. It's just a rough trend for him. And another thing that we have talked about is that Keaton Mitchell's rise, I think you and I both would have thought that that would have come out of what like Justice Hill was doing for that team, but it is not. He's just had, you know, he's sort of leapfrogged both guys. And now he seems to be something close to the lead back with Edwards and Hill both getting some run. So the remaining matchups for Edwards, the Rams, the Jaguars, the Niners, the Dolphins, there's not a super friendly spot remaining. And I need him to get, like, if you're going to play him, you need to reliably think that he might get 15 touches. And right now it feels like Mitchell's that guy.
Yeah, there's a dynasty league that I'm in that I really would like to win. Been competitive for a few years now and just haven't managed to close it. Ironically, I have Josh Allen and Steph Diggs on this team, and I am like the Bills of this dynasty league. I had the best record at least going to last week, but I've been like band-aiding that running back two spot for years. And Gus Edwards was one of those band-aids, man. And I'm not feeling great about like what's going to happen going forward. So we shall see. I'm with you on panicking about Gus Edwards a little bit. Although Keaton Mitchell, man, I feel if I had Keaton Mitchell, I don't even know that I feel that great about that either. It's just a tough spot for that Ravens running back core. My last one here before we get Andy's and then do waivers and get out of here. I mean, it's easy and we're going to talk about them tomorrow, but yo, Chargers panicked. Okay. 6 points and they won 6 points. The Chargers scored 6 points. The Justin Herbert, Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler, you know, Kellen Moore is going to come in here and light up the scoreboard. They scored 6 friggin' points. And they won the game. The most important stat. They covered. Shout out. One of my buddies actually bet on the Patriots +5.5. And, you know, I mean, what a miserable beat that is. You know, just score once. Bill Belichick, just once. You see, Bill actually had quotes in the press pool. They asked him, like, what do we need to do about an offense? He's like, I don't know. He's like, do you wish your offensive players were more consistent? I don't know. That guy like has the biggest senioritis of all time, but he'll be a head coach somewhere in the league next year. But the Chargers, I don't think should be starting for you on your fantasy teams. I mean, there are some good spots like Denver this week. Look, maybe I look like a jackass and like Austin can dunk on me on the show when he comes back and like, cool. I'd love that. That'd be great. Would be awesome for Eckler's edge, but Broncos, you know, that defense actually played pretty well, like I said, against CJ Stroud. They got the Raiders, the Bills, the Broncos. The spots are good, but like, I don't feel good about Herbert. I don't feel good about Eckler. And even Keenan Allen is coming off a 5-for-58 game. Like, he can easily have another 14 catches for 7.5 yards a pop again against one of these defenses. But even his ceiling, I think, is incredibly depressed in the current version of this Chargers offense.
So with this one, you landed on my final team that I was worried about. Not even a perfect team was going to be Justin Herbert, because I've got like that. You know, I mentioned the idea that Jordan Love possibly could be a guy who's like really decisive for fantasy managers over the final weeks. I have a league where I've got Jordan Love on the bench. This is one of my favorite leagues. I've been in it for, I don't know, a shocking amount of time. It is a Chris Harris run league. And I've had Justin Herbert as my like set it and forget it quarterback all year with Jordan Love on the bench. And that has obviously been the wrong decision for, you know, a couple weeks now, notably the wrong decision this past week when the Chargers offense couldn't get anything going. And like, I feel like Love, you know, kind of passed that final test. I think I'm going to be like, Love's got a great schedule. I think I'm going to be starting and ranking Love ahead of Justin Herbert rest of season. And I feel like this has been one of the season misses for me, ranks wise, was not really treating the Chargers perhaps as I should have in recent weeks. Like, I'm doing that with Eckler too, right? I leave him among the top 6, top 8 in the running back ranks, and that feels wrong. They didn't play to it this last week either. And he's clearly like, again, this is a thing that we've mentioned before, but I feel like we get to the end of this season and we hear that Austin Eckler has really been going through some stuff and has never gotten right after the early season ankle injury. Like, I'm pretty confident that's part of the story of his year. But this offense has now arrived at a point where, like, I don't know what's going to say, is Josh Palmer returning going to save it? Like, is that really what we're banking on? Like, that's the only card left to play that is potentially out there. Like, it's just hasn't been good. I don't, I no longer think that Herbert has the weekly ceiling of a player like Jordan Love, and that's just what I'm going to be doing going forward. I've got another league with Herbert that is a really good team, one of my best teams, and I'm probably gonna start Kyler Murray ahead of him the rest of season.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. It's bad in the Chargers offense right now. And yeah, on the Eckler health stuff, it did strike me when like Kenny Pickett literally underwent surgery for his high ankle sprain today. It's like, oh, his running back's just coming back in 4 weeks. And by the way, for the people who listen to Eckler's Edge and get on me about like not grilling Austin on his health status, the guy cannot come on here and just like talk about his injury. That's not how the sport works. I mean, it's one thing when he's not playing. It's different to be like, I am at 80%. Not going to happen. Okay. So like, come on, get a grip here. But like, it just, yeah, clearly not playing at 100%, not effective. I mean, he just hasn't been an effective player. He knows that. We talk about it on the show. And Quentin Johnson, that's what that is. And then you've got Keenan Allen. Like I said, he is definitely one of these players that like, I'm nervous. I mean, again, he five catches for 58 yards last week. I'm definitely nervous that like one of these games here, which looks like all good matchups, the offense scores 6 points again and he catches five passes and you're like, my God, this guy was one of my best picks and it just didn't happen. So yeah, I'm glad we're on the same page here about this one. It's a good way to end it because that is an offense that is definitely scaring me down the stretch. But all right, Andy, with that real lack of hope and optimism, let's talk some optimistic some hope here. Give the people some hope. Who are the top five waiver pickups heading into week 14?
Okay, I have attempted to grab a name from almost every position here because everybody's got needs all over the place after one of the worst injury weeks that we've seen. So I'm gonna start at number five with a defense, and normally if I'm throwing a defense in, I'm doing it because I just don't have enough names, but I actually feel really good about this one. I want people to take a look at the Houston defense. And here's why. Final four games of your fantasy season. They got the Jets coming up. Then they got Tennessee. Then they got Cleveland. Then they got Tennessee again. So this is nothing but sketchy quarterbacks rest of season. Some of these games are going to become like moderately pass heavy for the opposition matchups, which is exactly what we want, right? We want Cleveland to fall behind against Houston and for Joe Flacco or whoever is quarterbacking the Browns at that point to have to put the ball in the air 50 times because that's where we score fantasy points. This is just, I'm not going to call it a layup line exactly. Every team is serious, but man, There's a couple of takeaways available against the Jets. There are takeaways available against the Titans. There are certainly sacks available against the Titans. Like this is a good stretch of games. I feel like this is one of those defenses that you can pick up and it's like the last time you have to add a defense for the remainder of the fantasy season. My number four, and hey, this isn't for everybody. He's a little bit of a sketchy quarterback as well, but I'm going to give you Gardner Minshew. He's coming off 3-12 and two touchdowns. He had a good matchup ahead of him against the Titans, and he killed it. He was really good. He's not always really good. I'll just throw that out there. It's not always pretty with Gardner Minshew. But when it works, it works. He's got three 300-yard games so far in the season. Everybody has needs all over the place right now. If you have a need at quarterback, I think Minshew, of the widely available quarterbacks, is probably your best option. At number three, I put Noah Brown. And again, I don't want to make promises that Noah Brown just steps into Tank Dell's workload and is exactly Tank Dell. I think that's disrespectful to Dell, who's been incredible. They are not the same player. I don't think he does that. But we have seen Noah Brown give us a couple of different games this year in which he has 150 receiving yards. And I doubt there are very many other players out there on your waiver wire that have 250-yard games to their credit. Stroud is obviously playing extremely well. He's leading the league in passing yardage right now. We're probably going to see a game where Bob Woods makes a little bit of fantasy noise as well. But I think Brown is the guy that I prioritize. My number two, Tyjae Spears. He's got, and again, we don't necessarily think that Derrick Henry is going to miss the week 14 game against Miami. It's on Monday night. But Spears would be the direct replacement for Derrick Henry if anything goes down. He's somebody that you could already kind of make a case to flex in a deeper league. So I think Spears, even if we're just viewing him as like a backup running back, as a contingent value running back, he's somebody who needs to be rostered. And then I'm going to make my number one a player that we talked about earlier, Zeke Elliott. The only promise I can make about him is workload. But it's locked in, right? Like Ramondre Stevenson is going to miss some time. In his absence on Sunday, Zeke saw 21 touches, 92 total yards. He can, like, if you give him a, you give him a healthy workload, he's still going to put up a number. We're talking about a team that a number. We're talking about a team that is probably going to give you like one offensive touchdown a week. He's probably the strongest candidate to score that. Yeah. It might not even be that. Certainly might not be that against Pittsburgh. It's a dreadful offense. If you don't want to tie yourself to it, I get it. But there's nobody out there on your waiver wire who is locked into like 15 to 25 touches per game for the next couple of weeks.
You think anybody's picking Zeke in our primetime picks challenge? We have to pick primetime picks on this game for FFL.
We got to find a way to avoid the Thursday game. I don't know how we do that exactly.
There's two Monday night games.
Maybe consider throwing that. I know. We gotta go both Monday night games instead of this Thursday game.
Well, as I've said, I mean, we're talking about our primetime picks contests on FFL, by the way. If you don't watch FFL, you stream Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern. Watch it on Yahoo Sports or, you know, any of these social media channels out there. Your boy might win this week after with a player who was ejected in Isaiah Pacheco. So shout out to me on that one. But yeah, we'll have a conversation with our producer, Dan Harris, and Jason Fitz, our co-host on the show. We'll figure out a way to get this Thursday night game stricken from the record of primetime picks. Because like I said, I'm not watching it. OK, I'm going to find something else to do. Everybody else find something else to do. OK, you got a loved one. You got a spouse. You got a girlfriend. You got a boyfriend, whatever. Wife, husband, I don't care. Shoot, mistress, whatever. Take them out to dinner, okay? take them out to dinner. Go do something else. Got kids? Spend some time with them.
Probably got a pet.
Got a pet? Yeah. Shoot, take your pet on a walk. I don't care. Even if you live out on in the East Coast, where like it's 4:30 right now, and it looks like the sun's about to set. It's gonna be 2 a.m. in 5 minutes.
Even 8:30. Even if it's a fish and it can't walk. Take it out.
See what happens. Whatever is going to happen is going to be more interesting than Patriots Steelers. I know people are going to listen to this and be like, hey, asshole, you get paid to watch football, okay? Well, I get paid to talk about football. And I'll talk about that game. Here's what I will guarantee you people out there. I might not watch that game live when it happens. I'm charting a route from that game, okay? I'll probably go back and watch both George Pickens and Deontay Johnson. Like, I will have set eyes on that football game. Just not at 8:30 Eastern on Thursday night.
Yeah, it reeks of condensed game rewatch for me, actually, as I think about it.
Yeah, I think I don't have to worry about any Patriots receivers unless maybe Pop Douglas gets back out there. But yeah, I guarantee you I will be watching the film, just again, not live. So, but you all of you Zeke backers out there, good luck grinding your way to a touchdown somewhere in those 23 carries that he will get against the Pittsburgh Steelers. But Andy, that was a show, buddy. We did it. We started talking about the beginning, Zach Wilson and his, you know, refusal to do the podcast. To do the Jets starting quarterback duties. I hope you don't have a change of heart or a reluctance to show up to the pod next week with me, buddy.
I think Wilson probably more willing to do this podcast than quarterback the Jets at this point in the season.
Well, Zach, hit us up, okay? You want to do like the tell all about your time with the New York Jets, Zach Wilson, if you're listening to Yahoo Fantasy Football show here in week 14, I hope your leagues are all going really well. I hope you made some money on props. I hope you've got a big DFS bag. I hope you're about to just be a fantasy champion. You want to come on this podcast. You have an open, Zach Wilson has an open invitation to this podcast. That is, I'm putting that on the record right now. But for the meantime, this particular episode of the podcast is over. Tomorrow, we will have an NFL player on the show, but it's Austin Eckler. It's not Zach Wilson. Eckler's Edge will be back. We can't wait to talk with Austin, check in on what it was like to play in a game with the Patriots that was 6-0, but more importantly, prep you for your fantasy football playoff run. Until then, we're out.